We'll start in the book of Genesis. We might as well, hadn't we? If there's something new going on, let's look there. Genesis, but I want you to look at chapter 45, if you will. We're gonna skip on over a few verses and look at Genesis chapter number 45. And we're going to get into the life, actually, it's a little bit of both of Joseph and probably more notably Jacob, as Jacob is coming toward the end of his life. And Jacob has, you know, been a lot of things going on in his life that he is worried about and concerned as far as his family and some of the things that he has done himself personally. Some of the things that has happened to him, all this is on his mind. And as I say, he's coming to the end of his days, and they're living. He and his family are living in a day when predicted by his son Joseph, without any of them knowing it, the predicted time of a famine. The world had been in a cycle as far as, according to the Word of God, for 7 years they had plentiful harvests. And God showed this to Joseph, if you remember back in a dream, he showed him the whole situation. And so Joseph goes and reveals all of this to Pharaoh, the Pharaoh of Egypt. And so he instructs Joseph, here, if you know so much about it and God's got his hand on you, I want you to do something. So you know the story how Joseph drives the harvest, commands the harvest, and they harvest and store away goods and keep it for those 7 years of the fat years, if you will. And then in the next section after those seven, another 7 years of leanness is the way the Bible describes it. A famine is going to take place. So it's not just in Egypt, it's everywhere. But Joseph, through the direction of God, has been wise enough and blessed enough to store what is needed for those lean times. So now you get into the story in chapter number 45. Joseph has his brothers come. His father Jacob has sent them to get and to buy corn. So here is Joseph, and he reveals himself to his brother, shows them who he is. And as he gets down to the end of that story, and that's where we are in chapter 45, he wants to see his father again. And really, more than anything, he wants to see, first of all, he has to see his brother Benjamin, and he wants to see his father Jacob before his father dies. So that's kind of where we are, all right, if you will. And look with me, if you will, in verse number 16. Verse number 16 of chapter 45. And it said, and the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house. They talked about how that these were Joseph's brothers and how that their father was still alive. All this story, the fame of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beasts and go and get in you into the land of Canaan and take your father and your households and come unto me. And I'll give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take ye wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come, and regard not your stuff, for the good of the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons, according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. And to all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them, and when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and Israel said, it is enough, Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for your son and the blood that was shed for us and all the rejoicing that we can do through that. But I pray you just get honor and glory out of every word, everything that's done today. Let us just praise you and give you worship and love you for what you do for us. And thank you and lift up your name. If there's somebody here lost without Christ, would you speak to their heart and let them know they can trust you, trust on him as their redeemer now. We'll praise you. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I want you to look at these few verses with me, if you will. And I just want to preach to you on this thought on what's it going to take to revive you in 2024. What's it going to take to revive you in 2024? Now, you notice this last little bit of it. I read a lot of it, I guess, maybe for context, so you'd understand what's going on and who's saying what and what's being presented. But it says here that after the brothers come back to their father, it said they come to the land of Canaan there in verse number 25 unto Jacob their father, and they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he's the governor over all the land of Egypt. And look, and Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. I'm going to tell you, sometimes when somebody's told you stuff and it ain't right, it's hard to believe them, isn't it? And even sometimes when they have told you and it was right, it's still hard to believe some things. There are some things that are just difficult for me and you as humans to believe and to understand. I mean, it's tough. As a matter of fact, you think about Thomas. When the disciples told Thomas, said, Jesus has resurrected and he's been here. And old Thomas said, I don't believe it till I see it for myself. In so many words, right? Isn't that the way me and you are a lot of times? Well, I heard them say it, but I don't know if I believe that or not, right? I mean, I just don't know. But you know what? When the next time they got together and Jesus showed up, old Thomas says, hey, my Lord and my God. And he believed. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Thomas. He said, you believe because you've seen. He said, but blessed are they which have believed, which haven't seen. Amen. Brother, sometimes you need to just have a real good eye of faith to get your heart revived. But listen, the Bible said, here's Jacob, and it said his heart fainted. He just didn't believe them. And they told him in verse 27 all the words of Joseph which he'd said unto them. And listen, and when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Amen? I mean, there's something there turned his switch on, didn't it? And look what it said. And Israel said, it is enough. That's good enough for me, in other words. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Amen. Now, as I said, I want to know what's it going to take for me and you to get revived in 2024. I mean, look, I'm no dummy. I'm not under a rock, and I ain't been hiding away anywhere. I know what's going on out there. All of us know what's going on out there. I believe this year, 2024, is so much of an important year, and it's going to be in every man's life. There's a lot of things that have a big question mark about them, right? I mean, there's so many things, and we'd like to all know the answer. Can I tell you, sometimes you're not going to get the answer before it gets here, amen? But can I tell you, you know somebody that's got all the answers. You are in contact with somebody that knows the future, and thank God, I'm glad to tell you, hey, the Lord is still interested in taking care of those that are his children. He's never forsaken us, never forgotten us, never let us go. Amen? He's always been there for us. But as I said, we're gonna look at this story a little bit, and let's see about what it may take for me and you to get all revived and revved up, amen, for this coming year. First of all, let's look at this. Let's talk about Jacob and his pain and confusion. Now, Jacob's in a sort of a difficult place. And if you've ever studied and looked at the life of Jacob, you know that. Jacob, by his very name, means one that is a trickster. He is a deceiver. He is, and that's been his whole life. I mean, even up to a point where he finally got things settled with God that night in a wrestling match, right? I mean, when that happened, he got some things settled. But I'm telling you, before that, he was a trickster. He tricked his, as a matter of fact, he come out of the birth canal trying to trick his brother. Grab a hold of his leg, trying to get in front of him. He's like, you ain't first, I'm first. I mean, right off the bat. And throughout his life, he tricked his daddy. He tried to trick his mama. I mean, he tried to be as slick and sly and cunning and conniving as any man could be. And that was Jacob's life. And then, you know, there's a lot of folks like, well, I gotta live like that. I gotta live by my wits. I gotta live by my brains and by the way that I do things. And brother, that's the way that Jacob was. But do you know what it did in the life of Jacob? Same thing it'll do in mine, your life. It'll cause some pain and confusion. I mean, when you think about it, think about this. First of all, you think the mess of the past. I mean, Jacob, as I say, he's kind of a trickster. But can I tell you, the tables turned on him from his own kids. What did they tell him? The brothers all got together one day, and they didn't like Joseph. Because Joseph was a man from that God was on, and God's spirit was with, and he told them that one of these days they're all going to bow down to him. And all them brothers got mad. Now, there's 11 of them and one of him, right? And they all got mad at him, and they conspired to do away with him. And you know the story, they threw him into a pit, but they found an animal, got some blood, and put it on Joseph's garments, took it back to their daddy and said, well, we don't know what's happened to him, but it don't look good. And Jacob has lived this is probably 25 plus years. Jacob has lived 25 years believing the mess of his past. And it's haunted him, and it's hurt him, and it's caused him, as I said, pain and confusion. Here come these things. And brother, here's Joseph. And now Joseph is still alive, but here these brothers come and say, hey, we want to tell you, Joseph is the head over all Egypt. And it brings some real confusion. I mean, wouldn't that be a confusing story to you? Here comes your kids, and they say, well, we told you this before, but now we changed the story. And hey, I'd be like him. I don't hardly believe them, do you? I don't know whether we can believe. I'm just telling you, I believe that he's causing so much, he's got caught up in so much pain and so much confusion and so many stories. Hey, there's the mess of the past. All this stuff's gone up and he don't know who to trust. He don't know who to believe. He don't know what to think. And now they come up with this crazy cockamamie story. What's going on here, he says. I don't know. The mess of the past. But then I want you to notice, there's the message of the present. You see that? They come to him and they say, Joseph is yet alive. And he's the governor over all the land of Egypt. Well, wait a minute. That don't sound right. You know, he was dead not too long ago, 25 years. Something's wrong. And the message now has changed. The message has come. And boy, things are looking different. But again, he is overwhelmed in his spirit. And he really doesn't know what to think. Again, pain and confusion. His head's spinning. He's like, now wait a minute, boys. And you got to think of this also. I mean, as I said, 25 years ago, Jacob is much older now. I mean, Jacob is much older, and you know, you can get to a place in age where things really confuse and confound and mix you up, and you're just not sure about what you heard or what to think or that anything. Maybe I'm just dreaming all that. I don't know. So here's Jacob in his place where he's remembering the mess of the past. He's hearing the message of the present. But then he looks around, and there's the messenger that seems to have some promise. They said, Daddy, we're not fooling you. He said, well, one of the brothers said, Joseph sent some wagons. And old Jacob's like, I don't know. He gets up and he looks outside. And you know what he sees? Some wagons. He sees some wagons. And there's some wagons there. And can I tell you something? You think about that. When he saw those, he knew they weren't his, for one thing. He knew they didn't belong to his boys, but can I tell you, when he began to look at them, inspect them a little bit, they looked different than a whole lot of other wagons. Brother, these were the wagons from the king. Can I tell you, when the king sends a wagon, it don't look like mine, your ramshackle wagons might look. It didn't have them little knobbly wobbly tires on it. I mean, it'd be like somebody coming up and they say, well, you know, the president sent for you and he's got a Pinto out here to take you to the White House. I don't know about that now. But I mean, if they pull up and there's one of them big old long stretch limos, black, got them little flags flying on it, got them symbols and emblems on it, and you say, yeah, I believe the president has sent for me. Amen. A man gets out, he's dressed in a right way, and he opens the doors, and man, you think, woo, I believe this is right, amen. I believe old Jacob looked out there, and he said, look at them wagons. They were royal wagons. They were decorated wagons. They were imprinted with insignia. I believe there's some stuff on there that said Pharaoh. I believe there's some stuff on there that said the king of Egypt. I believe there's some stuff on there that, man, he ain't never seen nothing like that before. Amen. I mean, hey, the message that they had brought had begun to take on some promise before it was doubtful, before it was unsure, before it was I don't know. But all of a sudden, this thing got some promise, didn't it? So you notice, first of all, there we look at Jacob and we see him in his pain and confusion. But second of all, let's look and take a look at them wagons just for a minute. Now, I want you to notice Jacob's proof. The proof that comes to him here during this time and his consolation. I mean, notice what it said. And it said, when they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them, and when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Can I tell you, there was something there that stirred something on the inside of him. Oh, I know sometimes our words just are that. They're just words. But aren't you glad when the proof of the pudding gets there? I mean, aren't you glad when there's something that comes along the line here and it brings a conflict? The Bible said he changed his demeanor. I mean, he changed his heart. It changed his spirit when he saw the wagon. He's a-sitting in the house there, and they come in telling him all these stories. He's like, boys, I don't know. And maybe old Reuben said, Daddy, come here and look. Get up and go take a good look at it. And I mean, Judah said, yeah, Pop, let's go out here. And buddy, he got out there. He went over, and he looked at them wagons, and he began to notice all the royal embellishment on them. He began to notice how they were fixed and how they were insigniated. And he said, woo, they are something to this story. Can I tell you, friend, there's still something to the story to the child of God today. There's still something. I'm telling you, sometimes you look around and you hear what's going on and all the rumblings and all the darkness of this world. But let me tell you, hear somebody from heaven and let them give you a little proof in the pudding that Jesus is still coming. God's still in control. Heaven's still real. Amen. Woo! Don't you need a little bit of that? Amen. In 2024, you need a little bit of that. You know what that old farmer said? That cranky tractor a little bit right there. You get to hearing some of that. I mean, that'll help you out, right? Amen. So, I mean, here old Jacob was, you know, like, I don't know. But all of a sudden, he's like, hey, I think I changed my mind. The Bible said that his spirit revived in him. Can I tell you? Boy, I think about sometimes. And I read this and I began to think, man, what kind of wagons could God send by your way and my way? Oh, the wagons. Can I tell you? I believe God sometimes sends by the chuck wagon. You know what the chuck wagon? That was where all them old cowboys went to eat. And they'd ring that over. You ever watch them on some of them old westerns? They'd ring that little triangle and ding, ding, ding. And they'd say, what does that mean? It means it's time to go to the chuck wagon. What they got down there, come on and see. Brother, I believe God sent, Jacob a chuck wagon. Hey, if you'll notice, it talks about how that he had sent back these animals that were laded down with groceries. I mean, God said, look, I'm going to provide your needs. Sometimes me and you will sit around, we'll shake our head, God, you can't do that. Why, this is too big for you. This is too much for you. This is too far gone for you. But all of a sudden, the chuck wagon show up. You go outside and God said, hey, I've got you loaded down with what you need. Amen. Amen. Man, he looked around. He saw something. And I believe, now I know the wagons were empty because it was there to carry them back. But I believe me and you sometimes go out there and we can find God's lunch wagon, God's chuck wagon. We can go out there and we can find plenty of what God said that he would give to us, that he'd bless us with, that he'd bestow upon. And man, you won't suffer anything. Amen. You believe old Mephibosheth found the chuck wagon? He'd down there in Lodabar and all he'd do is eating dirt. I mean, it's so dry, dusty, and dead down there, nothing would even grow. But when he got called up to the king's house, can you believe his spirit revived in him a little bit? And old David said, don't worry about eating down at your house. You're going to eat at my house. I've got the chuck wagon pulled up. We're going to get around it and we're going to feed off the king's food. Amen. Can I tell you, God still got his heavenly chuck wagon for me and you that'll come down, thank God, and you and I can just eat and be blessed and realize what all God does have for us. Amen. He's always there to provide for us. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. Ooh, I'll tell you, I like that. He might have seen the chuck wagon. Glad I've seen it come by a few times, hadn't you? Oh, I've been in some spiritual places. I mean, it just seemed like Lodabar. It was dead, dry, and dusty. But I'd pull up at the house of God, and God said, wait a minute. Look out there, the wagon's coming. Woo, yes, sir, Ray. Somebody get up and they'd sing a song about how good Jesus had been and what the blood had done and how that heaven was real and woo, it got good. Amen. You know what? Hey, I just think I'll pull up and have some lunch. Amen. I believe I'll just pull in here and have me some. What's on that wagon? Amen. It's loaded down for good. Amen. The lunch wagon. But maybe not only that. Maybe old Jacob saw one and it was the bandwagon. Y'all hear about people jumping on the bandwagon? You know what the bandwagon? Bandwagon's what you get on when your team wins. I mean, when your team is the best, when your team, you know, hey, a lot of folks like to get on them bandwagons, right? I mean, some of you Alabama folks and Georgia folks and Tennessee folks and Florida and whatever all you are. I don't think your bandwagon's coming around Monday night, but it'll be all right. Somebody say amen right there. But anyway, hey, you know, that's the way it is. We like to be on the band. Can I tell you? I believe they pulled those up and the boy said, Dad, jump on because you're headed to a place you ain't never been before and there ain't going to be nothing like it. Well, what's waiting for them? The king said everything you want is waiting down there. Matter of fact, you go back and read that. Pharaoh tells them. He said, just forget your stuff. Now, look what he said. He said, verse number 18, take your father and your households and come to me, and I'll give you the good of the land of Egypt. You shall eat the fat of the land. He said, look, you're commanded. Take the wagon. Go get your little ones. And for your wives and for your father, come. Also, regard not your stuff. Amen. No, don't worry about your stuff. For the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Amen. Amen. You know what we won't do? We won't get our stuff. You know, let me get my stuff. He said, you don't need your stuff. Amen. I got better stuff. I got bigger stuff. I've got tastier stuff. I've got more stuff. You don't need your stuff. You know what? We're trying to drag along our little stuff. He said, forget your stuff. Amen. I got the good stuff down there at the house of God. Amen. Can I tell you, that's the way people are. Well, preacher, let me get my religious stuff together. Forget your religious stuff. Amen. Get rid of your religious ways and your religious ideas and your religious things. Just come on in and see what God's got. He's got more. He's got bigger. He's got better than Amen. Your stuff. Right. Amen. And they just jump on that bandwagon. You know what you start? You start singing his praises. Look what he's done for me. Amen. Woo! Hey, get on the bandwagon's where you shout. The bandwagon is where you parade. The bandwagon is where you wave and say, victory. Hey, man, I'm in the victor's corner. I got, hey, oh, Jacob could have stepped on there, headed down toward the land of Egypt. And brother, I'm telling you, hey, he would have shouted all the way. Look where I'm going. Hey, look what I left behind. Look what's in the rear view mirror. But I'm headed to a place where there's no worry and no problem and no issues for me. Amen. I'm just telling you, brother, you all jump on the bandwagon with the Lord. Why is that? Because like an old preacher said, I look in the back of the book and we win. Amen. I can tell you who the winner is when you jump on, hey, get on this bandwagon. So he might have seen the chuck wagon. He might have seen the bandwagon. He might have just seen the covered wagon. Y'all remember them store where they was all out there had them covered wagons, and you know what? You didn't know what was under it, did you? That's why they're covered, so you couldn't see the stuff. Buddy, can I tell you, some of us get in that covered wagon, he's got us covered. The blood covers your sin. Hey, Jesus covers your past. He's covered your future. He covered everything. He just said, come on in here and get under the cover with me. Amen. Come on in here. I got you covered. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, aren't you glad he done that for every one of us? Oh, that he saved us. He's written our name down in heaven. Hey, Jesus has got you covered. You know how you feel sometimes? If you're just out there in the wide open, while everybody knew you, everybody knew who you was, what you'd done and all that. But can I tell you, when you get under the covered wagon with Jesus, all your past is past. All your future is ahead. All of your sins are behind. You're like the man wrote and said, you ask me why I'm happy, I'll just tell you why. My sins are gone. Amen. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. Far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Thank God my sins are gone. Amen. I mean, could you imagine? That's the kind of wagons that God can send. And there's more of them. There's more of them. Amen. There's a station wagon. And that's where me and you can make a good strong stand as long as we own that wagon with him. Amen. I'm just telling you, there's plenty more of them. We ain't going to cover them all this morning. But I'm just telling you, thank God. Hey, he looked out, and when he saw the wagons, he got revived. Amen. Some of us need to look out and see what God does have for us and get a little revival stirred up in your heart. Oh, preacher, I'm too worried about going down here and going hunting or going fishing or going to this thing and that thing in the world. And this thing. Hey, forget that. Look at what God's got for you. Amen. Amen? I mean, that's exactly what the Lord is saying to me and you. Let's get with this. Amen? Old Jacob, he's down and out till he saw the wagons. And then it did something. It stirred him. I mean, as I said, these wasn't regular wagons. These were royal wagons. They were king's wagons. They were special stuff. All right, let's look at one last thing. Let's look at Jacob as he begins to process and confess what's happened at this time. Notice his processing of this whole situation. He's sitting there, he's looking at this, he saw the wagons, and the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Look at the very last verse, verse 28. And Israel said, it's enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. I hope you notice something interesting in these few verses as you come along. The first thing you see is when everything's in doubt, when everything's upside down, it's Jacob. You see that? Jacob. If you read that, I mean, you read your Bible. But when things get straightened out, what's it called him? Israel. He done went from being that old Jacob that he was into being the Israel that God has called him to be. The name Jacob, I told you, it means a supplanter, a trickster, a deceiver. That's what the name Jacob means. He's still back. You know what? Me and you can get there too. Sometimes your old stinking flesh will get you to thinking that away. But finally God said, wait a minute, I've changed your name. You're a child of God. Think that way. And boy, oh Israel. Now the name Israel means a prince of or with God. He gone to thinking like a prince now. He done gone from being deceiver and trickster and sly and slick and all that. Amen? Slick Jakey. Huh? That's who he was. He's now gone to being Israel. Because he's began to think. He's began to have a revival. Things have been changed in his heart and his life. And he's began to think as a prince of God. And you know what the first thing he says is? It's enough. That means that's good enough for me, y'all. That's why you and I would say it. That's good enough for me. When he saw that, he said, look, oh, man, nature, get away from me. Hey, I've got something new here. And it's enough. It is good enough to do the job for me. It's good enough to change my thinking and change my ways. What did it do? Well, first of all, I want you to realize this. It revived his faith. It revived his faith. Now, he had been alone with God, and as I told you, wrestling, you know, all that stuff. But sometimes you and I just need a revival of our faith. I mean, we just need God to come on in and do something for us. Stir our hearts. I mean, just give us a new vision. I mean, we need to be like Isaiah. Lord, just do something. Come down here and help me in some way as he did Isaiah in Isaiah chapter number 6. Cleaned up his lips, gave him a new vision, gave him just a fresh heart and, I mean, a good start towards things. Brother, Jacob, Israel now looks up and says, that's enough. I've got enough. Now, can I tell you, Jesus is enough. Amen. Whatever you got going on, Jesus is enough to get you through it and take you on in to where he wants you to be. Amen? He'll be enough. Thank God he said, it's enough. It's enough. Amen? It revived his faith. But not only that, don't you realize this? It resolved his fears. It resolved all that fearfulness that he had previously. He's worried about his son. He's worried about the things that had happened in the past. He's worried about his boys. He was worried about, you know, what all these things that he'd saw and all the things God had told. And I'm telling you, sometimes your fears will get a hold of you. But I'm telling you, when he finally got it, he said, that's enough for me. Forget all that old stuff I was and I thought and I did and I dwelled in my mind with. Hey, I've got rid of it. It's enough. I'm going. Amen. You know what he did? Amen. He jumped on that wagon and said, let's go. I'm going to go. He said, I want to go see my boy before I die. Let's head that way. Amen. Oh, Brother Lloyd Guffey used to tell the story about the fellow on the prodigal son. He said, you know what the prodigal son did when he came to himself? He dropped the pail, jumped the rail, and he hit the trail. Amen. He went back to the father's house, and he said, Father, he said, I've sinned against you and against heaven, and you just make me a servant. And his father said, come on in, son. You're still my son, thank God. Amen. I'm telling you, it's enough. Sometimes we do get ourselves in some messes. Sometimes we do think ourselves into some corners and situations. But can I tell you, when you get to hearing from heaven, when God sends the wagons by, when the wagons pull up outside your house, and God said, take a look at what I got. Amen. When you get a real good look at what he's got, it'll change your life. Hey, it resolved his fears. It took care of all that old fearfulness and ways. But you know what it did? It revealed his future. He got to see what it was going to be. He said, that they told him, he said, Pharaoh said, come on down, Dad. He's got us covered. We're going to live in a land of plenty. Amen. Amen? Do you know what Israel, the country, the nation, if you will, later on in the book of Exodus, you know what their biggest problem was? They just couldn't believe God. It says what? Their biggest issue was unbelief. And they wandered around out there in the wilderness for 40 years. They went 40 years. They went round and round in circles. You know why? They just couldn't believe God. But when that crowd died out, amen, when that died, there was somebody else there. And old Joshua said, we're going in, boys. And they went in and they took the promised land. And it was, as God had told them, a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a land beyond their wildest dreams and imagination. And let me just tell you something. In the Bible, The land of Canaan is not heaven. It is a place where you and I as Christians now can live in a victorious Christian life. That's what it's all about, is having victory in Jesus. Amen? Victory in Jesus. If you get in Him, I know Brother Alvin's talking about this in his Sunday school class in the book of Ephesians. He's talking about being in Christ. First three chapters, Paul spends on getting in Christ. Be in Christ. Let this mind be in you, he says in Philippians, which is also in Christ. I mean, let some stuff get in you that you've got in Christ. He said you can dwell in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. You can have the victory that there is in Christ if you'll get out of that other place, put that behind you, and go on to a place of victory. As I said, I don't know where you're at today. But old Jacob said, that's good enough for me. I believe I'll just pack her up and let's go. Forget my stuff. Well, actually, if you go on in the next chapter, you'll see that he did take some of his stuff with him. Didn't need to, but he did. He's like me and you. Oh, I better hold on to my stuff. Holding on to your stuff's liable to get you in trouble.
That's right.
Amen. Get rid of your stuff. And just see what God's got. As I said, His stuff bigger, better, and more tremendous than anything you and I could ever think of or have. Boy, isn't God good this morning? Isn't He good?
Amen.
I don't know. What's it going to take for you to get revived in 2024? Well, if you'll notice, when they got up and went down to chapter 46, in verse 1 it says, in Israel... took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father, Isaac. He went, and the significance of that is Beersheba was as far as you could go south in Israel until you crossed over into Egypt. He went as far as he could go in his own land. And when he got there, had him a little burnt offering sacrifice party. He said, getting rid of this. And I'm worshiping God, and we're going on.
Amen.
Amen?
That's
what some folks need to do. Just set her all down. Decide you're going to worship Him. Forget everything that's behind you and press on.
Amen.
What about you this morning? Would you do that? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a...